RSM, California, 92688, USA. More information is available at www.blueletterbible.org. This course, The History of Redemption, is taught by Pastor David Shirley. This is Session 17, entitled, The Last Time God Speaks.
The last time God spoke? So let's commit our time to Him. Lord, we just thank You again for time to think about You and look at Your sovereign plan. We do believe that as You placed us on earth, created the earth for us, and put us here, but You just wanted us to live for You and walk in fellowship with You here and have dominion of it and rule for You and not for ourselves. And we thank You that we see now that in Christ, that's how this is going to be accomplished. And we do recognize and set our hope completely on the parousia and the power of Jesus Christ coming to reign upon earth. We look forward to that time when You come, that You fulfill and complete all Your promises that You've made concerning this earth. Help us to be encouraged and receive the things that You want us to see about You in the last time that You spoke, concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. The seventh major time God speaks, it's God's final word to man. It's given to the saints to reveal the end time prior to Jesus Christ's physical return to earth. It's a book of future prophecy, and as such, it's full of symbolism, and nearly all the symbols are rooted in the Old Testament. The apocalypse actually fulfills the promise of Jesus when He said of the Holy Spirit, not only that He would lead you into all truth, but He also said, He shall show you things to come. And the Holy Spirit is the one that has given the apocalypse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the inspired Word of God given by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit did come and lead us into all truth, primarily in the epistles, but now He is showing us the things to come in the revelation. And so Jesus' Word, that the Holy Spirit would come and lead you into all truth and show you things to come, was fulfilled in the epistles and in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The need is, with all the evil in the world, and particularly at that time, the great opposition that was there to the church and the persecutions that we were going through, the Christians needed assurance of victory. They needed to know that Christ and His people will eventually win the spiritual war, you know, and the actual war. And so it proclaims the victory. And that was the great need at the time, to know that victory is sure. The book of the Revelation does a great job showing us that victory. Now, a cry develops, and it's fulfilled in chapter 22, verse 20. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And as you begin the book and you go through, this cry slowly develops until you get to the end. And it closes with this cry, even so come, Lord Jesus. Behold, He comes with clouds and every eye shall see Him. Surely I come quickly, He says. So all hopes wait on one hope. And that's why we set our hope completely upon the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We just have this one hope in Him. And we have great assurance because of Him. The content is simply this. Chapter 1 is the person of Christ and glorified power. We see Him. It's a revelation of Christ. Chapter 2 and 3, we see the church on earth. Chapter 4 and 5, we see the church in heaven with Christ. Chapter 6 through 18, we see the great tribulation that takes place in the world. Chapter 19, the return of Christ to reign along with His saints. Chapter 20, we see the millennial reign. And then chapter 21 and 22, we see the eternal state revealed. And so it's a very simple content about Christ and what He's going to accomplish at His final and full revelation. Then the method is that it's directed actually by Jesus Christ through angelic messengers to the Apostle John. He says it's the revelation that God gave him, and he gave it to his angel, and his angel gave it to John. And only the child of God will understand the spiritual message because it's very symbolic. However, the message is not symbolic. It's real and literal. It's to be received as an encouragement to persevere in total commitment to Jesus Christ until he calls us home. And yet it's apocalyptic symbolic literature. Because a lot of the things that have to be explained, you know, you just can't put them into words. It was too hard for, you know, words to express, so they use symbols. And so the response requires personal boldness to stand. You can compare Ephesians 6 and how we have the whole armor of God, and with the whole armor of God, we're to stand and stand in all that we have. Well, how can you be troubled when you're receiving an unshakable kingdom? Even if you're being persecuted as they were at this time in the early church. You know, the only way you can be troubled is if you lack vision, if you lack epignosis, if you lack revelation on God and who he is and what he's got planned for you. Then you can be troubled and shaken. But if you see the victory is sure, and you see the glorified Christ, and you see the church, you know, taken up into heaven, and you see him returning with Christ in great glory, and you see Christ setting up his kingdom and returning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then, you know, you realize you have an unshakable kingdom, and it doesn't matter what you're going through. And that's largely, you know, the response that he expects from us, is to have that kind of, you know, relationship there. I mean, the very cause of the consummation is revealed in the name. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb that was slain. And the reason that we're having the consummation is because he gave himself for us, to him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. He's the one that's coming back for us. And it's just, it's a beautiful picture. And we know that's the reason for Christ coming back, really. And, I mean, you see in Revelation the very nature of history, how the unseen is connected with the seen. This thing's lived out on earth, and the battlefield is earth, you might say, actually. But really behind it all are all these unseen powers, all these battles that are taking place in heaven that are affecting what happens right here on earth. Earth and heaven are kind of fused into one drama of redemption. But Jesus Christ is the victor, and he returns King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's just a beautiful picture. So, you know, all of our hopes are set here on the return of Jesus Christ. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye will see him. And his coming is a proclamation of victory. And we see him returning in this victory. The words overcome, prevail, conquer, and victory are all the same Greek word. If you took your English translation and went through it and took those words, overcome, prevail, conquer, and victory, and looked them up in your Strong's, you'll find every time they're the word Nikonian. Nikonian means to rule or to conquer. And what he wants us to get from that, I think, is that conquerors never quit and quitters never conquer. That's just an absolute principle of life. Conquerors never quit and quitters never conquer. But because we're in Christ and he is the conqueror, he is the Nikonian. And when you read it in the Greek language, it's even more prevalent, because every time you see overcome or prevail, every time you see conquer or victory, every time you see that word Nikonian, you realize this book is all about the conquering Jesus Christ. And it's almost like a magnification of the fact that in the epistles it says he always leads us in triumph. Because that's who he is. He's the conqueror. He never quits and he never fails. He's always with us. So it's a beautiful picture. You know, the whole teaching, you might say, culminates here, because at the end, of course, we see a new heaven and we see a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And God finally does, after all the events of history and things are over, God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and he has that people on earth that he's always wanted to be here on earth, living like Christ with his life in us. So redemption reaches its end, and the Redeemer finds his joy. He hath prepared for them a city. Now, we always tend to think about us and how great it's going to be for us, because we're so self focused. But we're not the one that went out and prepared the city. We're not the one that went out and built the house. We're not the one that provided the salvation, the means, the grace, everything. He did it. This is something that God's done from beginning to end. He has prepared for us a city to dwell in forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's like, it's the book of His joy, because we think we're going to be glad when He comes back. But He's going to be so much more thrilled to come back and to set up His kingdom. Not just to show who He is only, but because He loves us so much. And He's been preparing this. He's been excited about this for a long, long time. It will be that fulfillment of the new covenant promises for this to take place. And so it will. Secondly, one of the reasons it needs to take place is to establish perfect government on earth. We've always wanted it. It's like that's what God intended, you know. And it's the same way. The Lord's been preparing for us a kingdom, an unshakable kingdom, and a city and a dwelling place. And the joy that He receives when we're there and we're enjoying Him and His righteousness is just a tremendous joy. And it's a wonderful thing. And so, really, that's the book of the Revelation. So we live in between two prayers. We live in between the prayer, Thy kingdom come, that Jesus gave us when He was here incarnate in the Gospels, and the prayer of Revelation 22:20, even so come. And as a Christian, you're praying both ends of that prayer in your prayer life. You're praying, Thy kingdom come and be done on earth, even as it is in heaven, but you're also praying, even so come. In spite of what's going to happen on this earth, even so come. In spite of the judgments that have to take place, even so come. Because you know that that has to take place for the final consummation to happen. And so we're asking for His kingdom. And we live between those two prayers, between Matthew 6 and Revelation 22. That's our life. And the response that God expects from the book of the Revelation is simply, you might say, look up, because your redemption draws near. But as you're looking up and seeing how close your redemption is, you're able to do what? Be faithful unto death. That's part of the response. You remember Stephen in the early church as he was being stoned. And it's like he's looking up, and as he's looking up, he's seeing the face of God. You know, the face of Christ. And he's just like almost enjoying his stoning. You know, you're like, what's up with that? You know, he's faithful to the point of death because he sees God, sees the victory, and knows where he's going. And it's like Paul said, it's far better to depart and to be with Christ than to stay here. So in the midst of all this persecution that was going on in the early church, they needed to know the victory was sure. And they did. And the book of the Revelation, you know, covers the victory that we have in Christ Jesus in the final consummation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it does it in such a unique symbolic way, you know, through these signs and symbols. They're visuals so that we can picture and see these things going on. But the response is, look up, see it. Know it's real. And as you see where you're headed, you can be faithful to the point of death. Because Jesus was faithful to the point of death and God raised Him from the dead. And if you are faithful to the point of death, God's going to raise you and give you a crown that is going to be very glorious. And it's like they say, the sufferings of this present time are not even to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that you receive in the kingdom. So, personal boldness. Faithful to death. Love not your lives unto death. That's the message there. Well, let's pray. Lord, we're amazed that You would speak to us at all. But yet you're trying to communicate. You're trying to get our attention. You're trying to speak to us. And You want to love us and pour out Your life into us. and upon us, and we're just so privileged and so blessed, and we thank you that you want to speak to us. You know, I just pray that as we go through, you know, and continue to look and make comparison of what you did in history, and then the fact that you spoke seven major times throughout history, we want to see these things and put them together, you know, into one big picture, Lord, so that we can appreciate you more. Really, it's about you, Lord. It's not just so we can have the knowledge. The Bible's inspired by you and by your Spirit. And there's no book like this, Lord, anywhere on earth. So we thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of your Holy Scriptures and for the way that you speak to us, even now, Lord. We pray you give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, that we might rightly divide the word of truth, because we get anchored solid in who you are and what you planned. Lord, let us see it clearly so that we can defend the once for all delivered faith. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this lecture brought to you by Sewing Circle and Blue Letter Bible Ministries. The Lord has provided the resources so that these materials may be used free of charge. However, the materials are subject to copyrights by the author and by Blue Letter Bible. Please do not alter, sell, or distribute this material in any way without our express permission or the permission of the author. We invite you to visit our website at www.blueletterbible.org or www.blbi.org. Our site provides evangelical teaching and study tools for use in the home or the church. Our curriculum includes classes for new believers, lay education courses, and Bible college level content. The lectures are taught from a range of evangelical traditions. You can email us at blbi@blueletterbible.org, and our mailing address is Blue Letter Bible, 22431 Antonio Parkway, Suite B-160. The city is Rancho Santa Margarita, abbreviated RSM, California 92688, USA.